Blog Talk Radio.
Featured on allhabs.net with your host, Chris G.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to episode 158 of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, December 12, 2015. My name is Chris G at ChrisG1980. And well, like always, there's always lots going on with the Montreal Canadiens, especially when they're in a four-game losing streak. Canadians facing tonight the Ottawa Senators, a 7 o'clock start. The Sens in town at the Bell Center. Plenty of line changes for the Montreal Canadiens, and Dustin Tokarski will be in goal, so we'll talk about that in the next couple of minutes. The Canadiens' record after 30 games is 19-8-3 with 41 points. They are 5-4-1 in the last 10 games, and like I mentioned, they have lost four games in a row. Canadians have a 3-point lead over the Detroit Red Wings. Both teams have played the same amount of games. In the Eastern Conference, Canadians have a 1-point lead over the Washington Capitals and a 2-game lead over the New York Rangers. But the Capitals still have 3 games in hand over the Montreal Canadiens. And in the NHL, the Canadiens are 2nd place behind the Dallas Stars. The Canadiens will face the Stars in 7 days from now in Dallas. The Stars do have 1 game in hand. There's a 5-point gap between the two teams. If we look at sportsclubstats.com, Canadians have a 98.6% chance of making it to the playoffs and a 16.3% chance of winning the Stanley Cup and a 16.5% of winning the President's Trophy. So the odds have gone down for the Montreal Canadiens, but I think they're still in good position. Our question of the day, as you know, Habs 360, the most informative, the most interactive podcast. You can go vote on our Habs 360 poll question on Twitter. And the question is, what explains the Canadiens' losing streak? There's 4 options: goaltending, defenseman, scoring, and coaching. And we'll talk about that throughout today's episode. And we will be sharing the results of the poll later on. You can also reach us via Twitter for any of your questions or comments at Habs360. And you can also give us a call toll-free 1-877-455-4945. Joining me for the next 60 minutes, my co-host for the day, editor-in-chief and owner of the All Habs Network of Sites, Rick Stevens. Welcome back, Rick.
Thanks for the welcome. I'm glad to be back, from the short little scouting trip I had and to see the Ice Caps, and we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But really good to be here with you today.
And yes, we'll be talking about that in our third segment Rick's trip to see the Ice Caps. But let's start with the Montreal Canadiens. They played three games this week. First one against the Hurricanes. Let's hear how that went.
It was a tough game to play. Emotionally, it was a tough game to play. We had a big battle against Washington, and I could see the emotion was not quite there. We got some eight chances. Camor was good. But to win in this league, we can't give up three goals. It's too demanding.
So the Hurricanes 3-2 winners over the Montreal Canadiens. We heard Sven Andrighetto, who scored his third goal as a Montreal Canadian. And in that game, the other goal was scored by Daniel Carr, his first career goal. And we'll get back to Carr in a couple of seconds. Then a couple of days later, the Boston Bruins were in town. Their last matchup between these two teams before the Winter Classic. And well, let's see how it turned out for the Canadiens.
Another face-off win for the Canadiens. Here's Byron trying to feed it out in front, looking for Ellis.
Well, it was looking good at that point. Paul Byron scored his fourth goal of the season, but the Boston Bruins ended up beating the Canadiens by a score of 3-1. And there was a stretch where the Bruins scored two goals in 40 seconds in the third period to help the Bruins go on to win. Let's hear from the captain post-game.
Yeah, I think they... closed it up pretty good. We had some shots in the first and second. It's a great play by Chara to spring the guy for a breakaway. But we can't take our foot off the gas after that happens, because it seemed like up to that point, we're up 1-0 and we go on the power play, try and make it 2-0, and then we fell asleep after that one.
And that was the captain talking following the game against the Boston Bruins. Then the following night, Canadiens didn't have much time to rest. They head over to the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit to face the Detroit Red Wings. Let's hear how that went.
Pattering comes in, knocks the puck down as Tatar fell in the collision. Picked up by Dan May, right in front. Bison scores!
We gotta find a way to grind those out. We're doing a lot of good things. Just gonna find a way to win. We gotta play all 60 minutes and then just find a way to score more goals. It's hard to win with one or two goals.
And well, the Detroit Red Wings over the Montreal Canadiens 3-2. Thomas Fleischmann scored his eighth of the season, and Sven Andrighetto with his fourth of the season, his second goal of the week with the team. So Rick, we're going to dive into these games a little bit deeper for pretty much the rest of the entire episode. But one thing that stood out for me, I guess at a high level, in the last two games against the Bruins and the Detroit Red Wings, the Canadiens, who have, at least in the last couple of years, been a good third period team, in the last two games, they weren't.
Exactly. We've seen this season particularly their ability to close out. And, in previous years, it's sitting back and protecting, but this season, it's been attacking and actually, running away with the game, piling on, as it were. And for these games, we just didn't see that. The couple of collapses in the third period were disappointing, and the team just seemed out of sync. And I guess that's what happens when. Coach Therrien is a tinkerer, and when he upset lines that have been working and going to all sorts of new combinations, the team just didn't respond very well.
So we'll dive into that, I'm pretty sure, in today's episode. But let's get started now with our first segment, Winners and Losers of the Week.
And now it's time for this week's Winners and Losers on Habs 360.
And there you go. So if you're a first-time listener to Habs 360 here on allhabs.net, well, for number one, we welcome you to be listening. And, well, in the Winners and Losers segment, every year, every week, there's three nominees for each of those categories, and then there's a winner that is announced. And Rick, this week, let's begin with the winners. Let's start off looking at the positives. Are there any positives that stood out for you this week?
It's hard when you have three losses in the week, three losses since the last show. But there were some winners. We're going to pick the obvious one first, and that is the annual visit to Montreal hospitals by the Montreal Canadiens. It's, as we all know, an event started by Jean Béliveau all those years ago, and followed and continued all these years. And it's, you know, the Canadiens, there's a lot of opportunities for them to give back, but this is one of the most important ones, visiting kids who are really facing some monumental struggles with their health. And it was, you know, the photos from it were some of them, you know, put a smile on your face, some of them kind of heartbreaking, and the quotes from the players, they really knew how much it meant to the kids to see them there.
Yeah, so that happened on Tuesday, and the team was split and went to three different locations at the same time. So a lot of kids were hit simultaneously as the Canadiens visited the Children's Hospital, the Shriners, and St. Justin. So thumbs up on my end as well.
The next one, you know, we've been pretty hard, or I won't drag you into this. I've been pretty hard on NHL referees, and I think they've made our loser lists at least 2 or 3 weeks. So we're going to put them in the winners category, and the reason I'm going to do that is because last week on the Ice Caps scouting trip, I sat for an entire game with the supervisor of NHL referees, Dan McCourt, and he and I, rather than watch the game, talked about the state of the game, state of officiating, rules, all kinds of things. And I really got a really good sense from him that he has a good handle on the issues and the challenges regarding officiating. He's got a really nice approach. He's really thought through officials and new rules and all those kinds of things. And he didn't say so, but I'm gleaning from what he said that much of the challenge for improving the game comes from his supervisors, Alla Bettman, and from the teams themselves, from the GMs and whatnot who are. Who it's, you know, the referees may come up with great solutions, but it's hard to get them past the rules committee or the GM. So I'm going to give a shout out to the NHL refs.
And it's rare anybody does that. Not on your end. The referees are easy targets to get, to face a critique when it doesn't go against your team. The referees are usually the first ones to pay the price.
Exactly. Our other nominee, and you know, he could have been a winner if not for the person we're going to announce as winner, is Daniel Carr. I mean, a player who enters the NHL to play his first game, full of nerves, and on his first shift, his first shot, gets his first goal. That's a remarkable accomplishment and something he shares with, you know, some pretty big names in the NHL. and something he'll remember forever. Tremendous from a really good kid.
As Christian Thomas hands it out for Carl Weber, and he scores! Daniel Carr, first shot, his first NHL goal, in his first NHL shift.
Well, I mean, it's an honor, but I think on that play, a lot of credit's got to go to CT and Flinner. They both made really good plays down low to keep the puck moving, and I kind of just reaped the rewards of the play.
So there you go. We heard Daniel Carr's first goal with the Montreal Canadiens, and his comments following that game. And tonight, Daniel Carr still in the lineup, playing his second consecutive game. Tonight, scheduled to play with Thomas Fleischmann and David Desharnais. And, well, we'll get into more details on tonight's lineups later on in today's episode. But definitely, Daniel Carr, a great debut with the Montreal Canadiens, and he definitely did deserve a call up with a big team.
Exactly, and it's something that at All Habs we've been promoting, you know, since training camp, that this is the guy that's when he's called up is going to make an impact. And he may not be as well known to Habs fans as some of the other prospects, but he's his compete level is just off the charts. He loves to compete. You'll always find the puck around him, and that's because he's such a smart player. The puck, he knows where the puck's going to be. He's there. He gets all kinds of different goals, whether they be the banging around rebounds, much in the flavor of Brendan Gallagher. He's got a great shot as well. He's just loves to play hockey. He's very versatile. He can contribute on any line, as we've seen since his call up. And I'm particularly with the loss of Brendan Gallagher for a few weeks, I'm pretty excited about this player.
And Rick, tell us, who is this week's winner of the week for the Montreal Canadiens?
We're going to give it to another call up, and that's Sven Andrighetto. Andrew Ghetto he's been remarkable. He's come in and, with that little bit of, a little bit of experience, last year in his first call up, spent most of the season with the Hamilton Bulldogs last year. And, now when he comes up from the Ice Caps, he has an immediate impact, and not on the fourth line, but up there, particularly good chemistry with Alex Galchenyuk and Lars Eller. They play a bit of a different game, a little bit more of an east-west game, and Andrighetto fits right in perfectly. He's got great speed. He's got very creative offensively, a good passer, good shot. He's fit right in, and he's picked up four goals in his nine games since the call up. He's been everything that you could have asked for out of a call up and more.
Yeah, so it's four goals for Sven Andrighetto. He's a plus four. Plays an average a little bit under 12 minutes per game. This week, plays at one point with Max Pacioretty and Alex Galchenyuk on the first line, but it seems tonight he'll be playing once again on the fourth line with Charles Ludon and Brian Flynn. So that's pretty interesting. So congratulations to Sven Andrighetto. It took him, 2 weeks up with the Montreal Canadiens to get his first recognition trophy. He gets the Habs 360 winner of the week, and that's quite the honor, right, isn't it?
There's no higher honor.
Exactly. It's we should send him a plaque because he definitely deserves it. So the Canadiens, they've played four, they've lost the last four games, so they're currently in a slump. I just want to play a clip from Michel Therrien following the game against the Detroit Red Wings. It's in French. I'll translate it in approximately 13 seconds.
On vit des moments difficiles, c'est bien entendu.
mais il faut continuer à rester la tête haute. Et ça va faire de nous une meilleure équipe encore plus tard.
So the coach there, following the game, saying that they're going through difficult times and they just have to stick with it. And at the end, it's going to help them become a better team. Our Habs 360 poll question is in regards to the Canadiens' current losing streak, and it's pretty simple. What explains it? The four options on Twitter are goaltending, defensemen, scoring, and coaching. So you go to Habs 360 on Twitter. You can put in your vote. You can also give us a call at 1-877-455-4945, or you can send us a tweet at Habs360. On the other side of the break, we'll continue, and we'll tell you who are our nominees and our winner for Loser of the Week. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net, your year-round resource for anything Habs-related. That's allhabs.net.
Hi, I'm Chris G. The Habs 360 podcast and Anthony from art2canvas.com are pleased to announce the return of the Habs contest this season. I will give you the opportunity to win a great prize courtesy of art2canvas.com. Listen to the Habs 360 podcast and follow Habs 360 and Habs Happy on Twitter, as more details on the Habs contest will be announced soon. For high-quality canvas art at a reasonable price, visit art2canvas.com.
Don't live close to Montreal? Ever feel like you're the only Habs fan in town? Chances are good that there are plenty of fellow fans just around the corner, and HabsTweetUp.com will help you find them. If you're interested in hosting a hockey party in your city, visit HabsTweetUp.com for more details. You'll be connected to other Habs fans near you in no time. Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. In addition to building a worldwide network of sports fans, the team at RSM is also dedicated to mobilizing the sports community in ways that make a difference in the lives of others. Giving back to the community bridges the gap between team affiliations. It's something any fan can support. RSM proudly provided support for organizations and projects like Hockey Fights Cancer, Five Hole for Food, the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundations, Autism Speaks, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, and the People of Canada Portrait Project, just to name a few. If you would like to be involved with a Rocket Power project or have a worthy fundraising initiative you'd like us to be part of, please contact us at rocketsportsmedia.com.
Boom, boom, akalakalaka, boom, 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 akalaka, boom, boom.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
All right, welcome back to episode 158 of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, December 12th. My name is Chris G at ChrisG1980, along with Rick Stevens. You can follow Rick on Twitter at allhabs. So in the first segment, we announced our nominees and our winner for the big award for winner of the weekend that was given to Sven Andrighetto. And well, Rick, when the Canadiens are lost three games this week, a total of a four-game losing streak, I'm sure you didn't have much trouble figuring out some nominees for losers of the week.
Well, we had a few that came to mind after the week was over, for sure. We're going to start with Christian Thomas. We were talking about call ups in the last segment, and a couple that have really shone and impressed us. Not that Christian Thomas hasn't contributed; he hasn't been as visible as the others on the ice. Where he was visible this week was in a video that was posted. Unfortunately, catching him at one of his worst moments with Nathan Beaulieu, they were out partying and a little inebriated, I'd say the boys were. And I just don't get it for someone who is, holding on to an NHL spot. There's plenty of time for parting. I just don't get why you do that, particularly in this age where there's cell phones everywhere and video could be captured, as it was and posted this week of two drunk boys out having a good time.
Yeah, and we know the temptations in Montreal. It's there's many temptations for especially high-profile athletes, celebrities, people who are out in the public. There's lots of them, but I definitely agree that Christian Thomas, especially Christian Thomas, should not have been in that kind of a state of mind. And it was following last Saturday's loss against the Carolina Hurricanes. The team came back in town, and well, they were seen at a club, and after seemed like somebody's apartment or a hotel room, etc. But in fact, following the game against the Detroit Red Wings, the coach, Michel Therrien, was asked about why Nathan Beaulieu and Christian Thomas weren't in the lineup. And well, let's hear his response. It's in French, and I'll translate it in 11 seconds.
Parce qu'on n'était pas satisfait, mais que je jouais derrière moi, c'est aussi simple que ça.
Il y avait un aspect de discipline là-dedans, Michel, dans le cas de Beaulieu.
De discipline? Non, c'est, ça n'a rien à voir.
So the coach replies to the first question on why Beaulieu didn't play against the Red Wings, and he said, well, they weren't satisfied with his performance. And then a follow-up question that was asked, it sounded like Richard Labbé from La Presse, and he told him, is there anything related to discipline? Terry seemed a little bit surprised, like, discipline? And then he told him about the witness, like, no, it's not related. Whether or not it's accurate, who knows? Is it a coincidence that Beaulieu and Thomas both sat out as soon as those videos came out public? I guess we'll never find out.
Supporting the coach, which you know I love to do, there was on ice reasons for both of them to pay a visit to the press box. Christian Thomas took a really dumb penalty in the game prior, and Beaulieu has, you know, he's been struggling the last few games. There were on ice reasons, but you're right. You know, you raise an eyebrow when you see the coincidence that it was the two of them that got to sit in the press box, and they were the only two in that video that surfaced.
So just a reminder before we go on to our next nominees, if you wanted to share your winners or losers or talk anything Montreal Canadiens, you can reach us via telephone at 1-877-455-4945 or via Twitter at Habs360. Who's your next nominee, Rick?
Well, because we were talking about Nathan Beaulieu, related to him, I'm going to nominate what I call Beaulieu fanboys. Now, it has, you know, nothing to do with Nathan himself, but it's those guys, mostly on Twitter, who make it, I think the sole reason they're on social media is to promote Nathan Beaulieu. In fact, some of them that are just, they're nasty, and they insert their way into conversations on Twitter. They've changed their names to end in Beaulieu. But basically what they're saying is he is the best defenseman who has ever been created. He has no business in the press box. He has no business on the third pairing. In fact, he should be playing, on the first pairing. It's okay to let's ditch Andrei Markov. Let's trade him. Let's have a pairing of Nathan Beaulieu and PK Subban, and each play 25 minutes a night, and the world will all be right. And of course, that's just a pile of nonsense. He's maybe someday he's going to live up to that potential. Right now, he's not there yet, and he still has a lot to learn, particularly on the defensive side of the game. For the fancy stats folks, the Corsi 4 percentage, Nathan Beaulieu and Tom Gilbert are the only defensemen on the roster below 50%. So they're not doing what people claim that they should be doing, and that is driving possession. The other defensemen, the ones who are playing, particularly Alexei Imlin, who gets a lot of the grief from these people, is playing and achieves a higher level in that regard. So that's my next nominee.
I wouldn't call myself a Beaulieu fanboy, but I was at the beginning of the season promoting that I think Beaulieu probably should play in a top four defensive spot for the Montreal Canadiens. Looking back right now, it was probably a little premature, but I think maybe either later on this season or next year, he'll definitely have a spot in the Montreal Canadiens top four defenseman. But at the same time, while Canadiens did have some injuries, I think he did a decent job in when he was playing with Jeff Petrie, but I'm sure that has a lot to do with Jeff Petrie himself. But I think that pairing did look good for a certain while. And even on the last game against the Red Wings, it was when Beaulieu sat out, it was Craig Patterson who was in the lineup. And well, Craig Patterson didn't have the best of his game against the Detroit Red Wings. So I think that made the decision even easier for the coach to bring Beaulieu back tonight against the Senators.
Yeah, I agree totally. He's going to be there. He's got the skills. He just has to learn how to read the plays a little bit better. But he's not quite there just yet. Speaking of defensemen, we're going to we haven't talked much about PK Subban this season, mainly because there's not really been a lot to talk about. PK Subban, he's getting his points, mainly because he's getting ice time. He's up there in assists in the top 10 in as far as defensemen in the league. But we remember last year that for the first third of the season, PK Subban was not very good. After Christmas, he turned it on and he had a great season. He had a great two-thirds of the season. Unfortunately, that is repeating itself. Let's hope the good part repeats itself too. But the first third of the season, he hasn't been dominant. The highest paid defenseman hasn't been the dominant defenseman that we're expecting. He hasn't scored in, I think it's 21 games now is the streak. He has only just one goal this season, I think the expectations are much higher, and particularly as the Canadiens go through this bit of slump where they're struggling to score goals, they could have used a bigger contribution from PK Subban.
Yeah, so in fact, it is zero goals in the last 21 games for PK Subban. He's up there when it comes to the number of assists. I think he's in the top 20 or something in the league with when it comes to assists. And he hasn't been the same. He hasn't been the PK Subban, the dominant one, like you mentioned, Rick. And one question, Rick, that something that I've been thinking about PK Subban, and I want to get your thought on this. We're seeing PK Subban doing more and more, whether it be charity or more promotion, more advertising, but a lot more, we see him a lot more visible off the ice, and we don't see him for the same kind of situation like we saw Nathan Beaulieu and Christian Thomas, right? We saw him for, I guess, good reasons out there. Do you think those kind of things may have become a distraction? Is he doing maybe, you think, a little bit too much?
It's a really good question, and I don't know that I have a clear answer about it. But it makes you wonder. The things that he's out there doing are good things, are valuable things. We all know about his donation to the hospital, the atrium. He's launched his website this fall, and I guess the part that bothers me is there's been several interviews recently where he's made the point that hockey is only a very, and he uses the word tiny, tiny part of who I am. He's even said a small part of my brand, who he's, you know, he wants to get across the point that, you know, he's into philanthropic endeavors and those kinds of things. But hockey provides that. The only reason he's able to do these other things is because of hockey. And he's got to take care of his hockey business first, his hockey brand first. And, you know, it's a really good point that you made. There are some questions about his focus.
And even to that, he recently became a spokesperson for Sports Experts. He's a spokesperson for Boston Pizza as well in Quebec. So he's definitely out there. And it seems like he's focusing more on the brand of PK Subban than maybe on the ice. And, you know, this is all theory. We don't know. We're just giving our opinions here on Habs 360. And even when at the press conference, when he announced the donation that he'll be doing to the Atrium, and he was thanking the people who supported them, there was a lot of mention of his company, his PK Subban Enterprise. I think it's PK Enterprises or something like that along those lines. So maybe the brand of PK Subban is becoming a distraction for him. So who is your next nominee for Loser of the Week?
Well, our next nominee, our next nominee is actually the winner. And I don't think there'll be too much controversy about this, and that is Michelle Therrien, who takes the crown of Loser of the Week. And I mean, for a whole number of reasons. I think that when times get tough, it's easy to be a coach in good times. It's easy to be a coach when your players are carrying the team, but it's when adversity comes, and the adversity for the Canadians came in the form of losing best player in the world, Carey Price, and losing one of their top scorers in Brendan Gallagher. That's when the coach has to step in and make sure that the he puts his players in the best spot to win. He makes adjustments. But for the most part, because there's this instability with the loss of players, he has to ensure stability. And what Michelle Therrien chose to do instead was throw everything completely upside down. He changed every line. He mixed up players. He put them in bad situations. Dale Weiss, Paul Byron, these guys are not top six guys. He put players who play different styles, like Alex Galchenyuk and Max Pacioretty, both great players in their own right, but they play a very different game, and putting them together was a disaster, and one that finally Therrien recognized, and he's going back to the quote old lines tonight. Not only was the lines upset, but Therrien wasn't even playing matchups at home. He had Alex Galchenyuk out against in his debut, so to speak, as the first line center against Chera every shift, and Claude Julien was only too happy to have that matchup all night long. And with the last change, Michelle Therrien did nothing to change that. I guess if not to pile on, but his use of David Desharnais over and over and over again, getting, you know, with zero results, and particularly on the power play, it's not that he's not scoring. He's not taking. I think he has 6 shots on goal all season. In that regard. So Therrien has you know, he's upset the lines, he's upset the chemistry, he's upset the power play. And then this whole dark cloud of Alex Semin, who, in my mind, really didn't get a fair shot to see that, you know, if he could contribute. I don't know if he can or not, but he certainly wasn't. You could tell from the outset that Therrien was having no part of Semin and had a very short fuse when it came to him. So for all those reasons, and you're welcome to repute any of them. I'm naming him loser of the week.
So those are plenty of reasons. I agree with some. I don't agree with all of them. But well, we'll take a pause. We'll think about it. We'll digress, and I'll give you my point of view on that on the other side of the break. Don't forget, you can reach us on Twitter via at Habs360. You can also reach us toll free at 1-877-455-4945. So I'll give you my point of view on Michel Therrien's week, and we'll also talk about Rick's trip with the Icecaps over the last weekend. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
Want the latest Habs news with game previews, reviews, and highlights? How about full coverage of development camps and special events? Looking to follow the St. John's Icecaps or the Brampton Beast more closely this season? Perhaps you'd like to learn more about team prospects. Would you like a place to socialize with hockey fans all over the world? We've got what you're looking for at allhabs.net, the place where you'll find everything you need to be the most informed and connected Habs fan around. Allhabs.net.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, visit the podcast page on allhabs.net or search Habs 360 on iTunes for our archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes and on.
You know, you're going to fall down when.
For the most trusted source of. Want the latest Habs news with game previews, reviews, and highlights? How about full coverage of development camps and special events? Looking to follow the St. John's Icecaps or the Brampton Beast more closely this season? Perhaps you'd like to learn more about team prospects. Would you like a place to socialize with hockey fans all over the world? We've got what you're looking for at allhabs.net, the place where you'll find everything you need to be the most informed and connected Habs fan around. Allhabs.net.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, visit the podcast page on allhabs.net or search Habs 360 on iTunes for our archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes and all new episodes will automatically download for you.
Frameworth is the exclusive supplier and distributor of autograph products for some of the best hockey players in the world, including Carey Price, Sidney Crosby, Jonathan Toews, John Tavares, and Alex Galchenyuk. Thanks to Frameworth, Habs 360 listeners can receive free shipping on any order. Shop online at frameworth.com and type in Habs 360 at checkout. Frameworth is an official licensee of the NHL, NHLPA, Hockey Canada, CFL, and the Hockey Hall of Fame. For more information, visit frameworth.com.
I bet you.
All right, welcome back to episode 158 of the Habs 360 podcast. For this December 12, 2015, my name is Chris G at ChrisG1980 along with Rick Stevens. Our poll question of the week, what explains Habs' losing streak? There are 4 choices, goaltending, defenseman, scoring, and coaching. So we'll give you the results of how that stands in a couple of moments. So before the break, Rick nominated Michel Therrien as our loser of the week. And,
you think my vote is pretty clear in the poll, who I think is the problem?
Yeah, it's definitely. It's very, very clear. Well, we'll know in a couple of minutes if our listeners and our followers on Twitter do agree with you. I agree with the fact that I don't think Michel Therrien had a good week. And I think it started maybe even before. I even mentioned it last week in our episode. The Canadians were doing good. They were winning. And then Michel Therrien decided to start changing up the line. So I think that and we saw what the results have been since. Canadians have kept losing since the lines have been juggled. But the Canadians, so I think that's definitely something that falls on the responsibility of the coach. Another reason why I think that Michel Therrien had a bad week, well, when it comes to Galchenyuk, prior to the game, the coach in the press conference mentioned that we think he's ready to get the responsibility to be the number one center. And in fact, in the NHL, against the Bruins, was the first time that Galchenyuk played. Did Galchenyuk have a good game in that role? He didn't. But let's hear what the coach said following that game in regards to Chucky.
Alex Galchenyuk, minus two in the third period. Just your thoughts on his game at center.
Really tough night.
Part of his tough night have to do with the fact that he had to match up a lot of the night against Chara and Bergeron's line?
He had a tough night.
So when you're talking about your future, the guy who has been branded for the Canadiens as their future number one center, and he's playing his first game at that role, I agree that he had a tough night, but does a coach need to go out in the media and like that and announce it that way? I think it wasn't the case. I don't think that should have been done the way that it was done. But so I think that's another reason why that Therrien had a bad week. You mentioned, Rick, earlier about the Canadiens and he's placing players in the top six roles where they don't belong, like Byron, Weiss, etc. I agree that they're not top six forwards, but in the state that the team is now with the players that they have on the roster, how many top six forwards does Therrien actually have to play on his team?
No, it's a very good point. But I would be placing those players, for a shift or to get some energy or those kinds of things. But you have to trust those players who, they're call-ups, but you have to trust them who play that kind of role. Andrew Ghetto actually looked pretty comfortable on the second line. Last two games, he's played on the fourth line. I don't think that's the best use of his talent. Sure, he has some chemistry with Hudon, but playing 8 minutes a game, what does that matter? He looked like he fit right in. He stepped right into that top six role, and he was moved. I just don't think that's a good use of your talent.
Well, I agree, but when a team is missing top six forwards, I think that falls under the GM's responsibility. He's doing what he can with the forwards that he has. When it comes to Alex Semin, I'm okay with the number of chances that he got in. I would have liked him to get one more chance, especially for a team that's been struggling to score. They have 11 goals, if I'm not mistaken, in their last six games. So Semin was brought in to be a top six forward. And well, he never even got one chance to play with Max Pacioretty, who's the goal scorer. So I think that I would have been okay if they would have given him at least one more chance playing with Pacioretty, see how that goes, and if that doesn't work out, then follow the process that they did right now.
Just to add to that, I thought it was really humorous. I don't know if you saw the quote from the GM of Semin's new KHL club. They asked what Semin's problems were. For his problems, and then he said, "Let God be their judge," and promised, which I thought was hilarious. And he promised to show them that the GM that he was right, and that the NHL coaches are wrong about Semin.
Yeah, I understand your question, but it's not between me and him. It's nothing to do. It's about performance, and he needs to go back there and work on different things and bring his game to a better level of acceptation that we believe that used to play in the NHL.
And those were the coach's comments following when Semin was placed on waivers and where he would have potentially been assigned to the Ice Caps. And Terry was telling us what the acceptations of the organization were when it comes to Semin. One more thing, that the reason why I think that Michel Therrien had a bad week, it was actually something that happened earlier this morning when he was asked why Pacioretty and Galchenyuk are split up from the first line. He said, when there's no chemistry, when nothing's going on between two players, you don't wait a month before you do something. I'm okay with that statement, but if you look at it from in this last couple of seasons, when he was using Pacioretty and Dernais together for how long? Like almost a year and a half before something was done. So I think that was a little bit inconsistent. So that being said, Rick, I'm okay with your with you naming Michel Therrien for loser of the week. Maybe not for the exact same reasons you did, but I definitely do agree that I think the coach had a bad year. I know my philosophy when the team went
a bad year.
I don't think a bad year. Canadians are. We have to look at the big picture. Canadians still first place in the division. The best player the team isn't playing, and then one out of their top six forwards, when the team has only three others, is injured as well. So I still give them the benefit of the doubt on that side.
Yeah, I agree. He hasn't had a bad year. I think you just misspoke. You said he's had a bad year. I was just clarifying that you meant bad week, which
yeah.
We both agree on.
Yeah, that's correct.
This edition of the Ice Caps Report is brought to you by IceCapsHockeyReport.com, your premier source for the St. John's Ice Caps, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens. IceCapsHockeyReport.com is a proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
I just work hard every day. I think that's the biggest thing. There's nothing I can control about how, the decisions that they make. I just have to work hard in practice and, keep working on my game. I think, if they're going to call my name, that's my job to be ready for it as a professional. So,
how did you feel?
So that's Jared Snorty. Once he got called up from his conditioning stint with the Ice Caps. So, Rick, you went on a mini scouting trip. And the games that Jared played with the Ice Caps is the only competitive hockey games that he's played so far this season. What did you think of him when he was down there?
Yeah, Jared Snorty actually got in six games in the conditioning stint. Now I wasn't there for the first couple of games, but I did watch the broadcasts, and he was. It took him a while to get his timing, and when we interviewed him, he said exactly that he was playing against the Marlies, which are a pretty good team, fast team, and he was looking to get his timing and particularly his confidence back. But when I saw him against the Utica Comets and the Binghamton Senators, he was dominant. He was the best defenseman on the ice. He had the ability to stand up and end a rush by either poke checking the puck carrier or just physically stopping him and turning the play around and creating some offensive chances for his team. He carried the puck nicely. He was, to Coach Sylvain Lefebvre's credit, he was put in all situations. In those six games, he had two assists. He was a plus three. And I thought, at times he was dominant on the ice. To compare, Greg Patterson only had just three games. But I believe, I'll have to look back, I believe he was a minus six in those three games, didn't look as dominant at that level. Of course, he's had games at the big level where he has looked good. But Tenorti looked very good. We asked Gabriel Dumont the captain of the Ice Caps, what he thought. Dumont was very emphatic, saying Tenorti is an NHL defenseman. He belongs in the NHL. He should be playing at the NHL level. We asked Sylvain Lefebvre. He said, you know, he loves having him around. He logs a lot of minutes. He was impressed that Tenorti gained confidence each game. He said that defensively he plays very hard. He takes the body. Lefebvre noted his long reach, his long stick, his ability to clog the passing lanes in the defensive zone, and just that, you know, game to game to game, he's gaining more confidence with the puck and his ability to move it down the ice. So I thought it was a really good, it was a good move for the Canadiens to send him down. I think Tenorti embraced it. He had a good attitude about it. And I thought he did really well in the games that I watched him.
And recently, as of just a couple of days ago, Jacob De La Rose, because it seems like everybody from the Ice Caps was called up except for De La Rose, but he was out with injury. And as well as Michael Bornyavov went through waivers last week and is now with the Ice Caps. They're both back in the lineup. Did you have a chance to see them?
Bornabell and Jacob De La Rose played their first game last night, and that was against the Rochester Americans in St. John's. As you said, De La Rose has been out since I think it was the 8th of November in the game against Hershey, where he suffered a lower body injury. We saw him. Was at that game. We saw him hobbling. He could put hardly any weight on his leg as he hobbled around the dressing room. So he was out for just short of 5 weeks with that. In his first game back last night, he was the best Ice Cap by far. He scored his first goal of the season. Nice, a beauty of a goal. And he's... With all the call-ups, as you say, he's will perhaps get a bit more of an offensive role. He's centering the second line with Brandon McNally and Gabriel Dumont on his right side. So I wish good things for De La Rose, because he's a very good two-way player. If there wasn't the injury there, he would have had his call-up already. And let's hope he can get back into the Canadiens lineup soon. For Michael Bornabell, he played really well last night. He skated like the wind. He was on the first line on the left side of Mike McCarron and Bud Holloway, and that line's been dynamic. He kind of filled in the spot that Daniel Carr used to occupy. And again, we wish good things for Michael Bornabell. His concussion is... has kept him out a long time, and we hope he can work his way back into being relevant again for this as a prospect for the Canadiens.
This edition of the Ice Caps Report is brought to you by IceCapsHockeyReport.com, your premier source for the St. John's Ice Caps, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens. IceCapsHockeyReport.com is a proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
If we go now to our Habs 360 poll question, what explains the Habs losing streak? Canadiens have lost 4 games in a row. Well, I'll go. The choices were goaltending, defenseman, scoring, and coaching. So it was pretty evident, like Rick mentioned, what his vote is. Even though Terrier, I think, had a bad week, it's not the option that I chose. What our listeners and our followers on Twitter think, I'll go in descending order. At 3%, we have the defenseman. Then at 14%, we have goaltending. And then, well, our first runner-up is with 23%, the coaching. So is actually the first runner-up. So 23% of the people responding to the poll think it was the coaching that's been causing the Canadiens a losing streak. And with 60% is the scoring. So 60% of people who responded think that it's Canadiens' lack of offense. that explains the losing streak. And, you know, Rick, I'll make the argument for you that I'm sure you probably think it's because of the coaching that Canadians aren't scoring, right?
Well, not solely. You know, I would say the struggles are because of one and two, because of scoring, because of the adjustments that were made. Yes, Therrien's having an effect on the offensive production, but we've got to lay some blame at the feet of the players too. PK Subban, Max Pacioretty isn't. You know, Max Pacioretty is a streaky scorer. He's in a slump right now, and he's got to pick it up himself. So, you know, I said I was kind of hard on Therrien, but I'm agreeing with our listeners and with you that it's a bit of both.
So it's just some stats when it comes to scoring. Dernan and Fleischmann in the game against the Red Wings, they each got their first point in their last eight games. Dale Weiss, who started off the season on fire, he's gone nine games without scoring a goal. Thomas Plekanec hasn't scored in 13 games. And like we mentioned earlier, PK Subban hasn't scored in the last 20 games. I'll take that one step further. The Canadiens have scored two or less in regulation for seven consecutive games. That is the last seven games. That's the longest streak since October 2003. Canadiens have a 2-4-1 record during that period. 11 goals have scored in the last six games for the Habs. And even if you look at the goal scorers, the players for the Canadiens who have scored at least one goal in the last four games, Byron, Sven Andrighetto, Fleischmann, Daniel Carr, Lars Eller, and Brian Flynn. So looking at that list, there's a couple of big names that are missing there. And I think these players, yes, I think, like we mentioned, Therrien did not have a good week, but it's also the players that we haven't mentioned in that list that need to step up and put the puck in the net as well. But Rick, just before we go, I want to look at the other end of the rink for the Montreal Canadiens when it comes into goaltending. As one of the changes, well, it's not a change, I should say, compared to last game. Dustin Tokarski, he's going to be in goal for a second consecutive game. What are your thoughts on that move? Was that a good move made by Michel Therrien?
It's a curious move. I'm interested to see how it turns out. I saw Tokarski as part of the Ice Caps little scouting trip, and he actually played pretty well, very well. You know, the other night I thought he was okay. I was glad to see that he was much more confident, but he was still, you know, his scrambly self and kind of the maker of his own bad situations and so you know. It's an interesting move, and I want to see how it turns out. Condon is I wouldn't say struggled. I'd just say he's inconsistent. He's giving up rebounds. He loses his net sometimes. He doesn't go side to post that quickly. I think it was key in a clip that you played a little bit earlier where Therrien said, it's pretty tough to win when you give up three goals. And I think that was kind of a veiled shot against his goaltending because they've given up three goals in this losing streak, and Condon's been certainly in for the majority of those games.
Yeah, we all remember that on 24CH, Michel Therrien kept telling his team they need three goals to win. So if you're allowing three goals, that's not going to happen. And I think Condon hasn't been looking as confident as his technique. He hasn't looked as solid as he did at the beginning of the season when he was playing during Carey Price's injury. And as I mentioned last week, I made a prediction. I threw it out there that during this Carey Price injury, I wasn't expecting Condon to be the number one goalie throughout the whole stretch. I thought that somebody else or Tokarski would jump in there for a moment of time. So two games in a row where Condon isn't playing healthy. So I think at this point it's the Dustin Tokarski where is the hot hand, I guess, in Terry's eyes, and he's going to play with him for a second consecutive game. And when you mentioned in terms of goals allowed, here's some more stats on that side of the ice. The Canadians have allowed 3 or more goals in 10 out of the last 14 games that they've played, and they have a record of 6-6-2 during that period. So they've been losing more than they've been winning. So am I surprised a little bit? I wasn't expecting Tokarski right away to come in and step in for Michael Condon, but am I shocked? No, I'm not.
Just one more stat to throw in there that I think is interesting and supports your point is that of the 30 games, Carey Price has started 12. Carey Price still leads in wins for any of the goaltenders that have played this year.
Exactly. So I think that that says a lot about the goaltending. But we'll see. Like, let's hope Dustin Tokarski is able to come in and go through a stretch like Michael Condon did at the beginning of the season, and able to at least give his team a chance to win and at least allow less than 3 goals per game. But at the same time, on the other end, we need the Canadiens players to step up and score a couple more goals. A couple of tweets to read. First one comes from Moncton Scouts. And guess what? He's from Moncton, New Brunswick. So his explanation on what explains the Habs' losing streak, nothing in particular, just a slump. So thanks for that. And the last tweet comes from Jay Boivin. He writes, as simple as injury, 4 losses by 1 goal. Imagine with Price and Gallagher, I believe we would at least be 0-2-2. So he still predicts Canadiens would have not won games without Price and Gallagher. I think if Price would have been in goal, the Canadiens would have won at least 1 out of those 4 games. But that's something that we'll never find out because, well, we don't make those games up. So thank you very much for your tweets. Thank you very much, everybody, who replied to our poll question as well. Canadiens playing 3 games. Tonight is the first of 3-game homestand as the Senators will be in town. And then a couple of Western teams coming in. It won't be an easy stretch of schedule for the Montreal Canadiens as the Sharks will be in town on Tuesday night. And then the Kings will be in town on Thursday night. So we'll be looking back at those games on our next episode 159 on December 19th. Rick, thank you very much.
Great show as always. Thanks for having me.
Thank you everybody for listening. My name is Chris G at ChrisG1980. We'll be back again next Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern for another edition. If you missed part of it, go to the podcast page on allhabs.net. Have a good week, everybody.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter at Habs360 and visit allhabs.net.